Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we are going to continue our look at Jesus' teachings found in the Sermon on the Mount. This moment in Jesus' life in the book of Matthew, where we have essentially the transcript of a sermon that Jesus gives, of this talk that Jesus gives to this crowd of people gathered around. And Jesus teaches for us three straight chapters: Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. And this week we're moving into Matthew chapter 6. We've concluded Matthew chapter 5, and we're moving into Matthew chapter 6, sort of. But last week, and we'll get to that in a second, but last week, Jesus, he shows us, and we come back to this theme over and over and over again throughout the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is going to challenge us to take our actions, to take the things that we do, and to set them aside. And to talk about deeper issues, to even talk about the deeper issues of the things we do. And last week, Jesus turned his attention to the law in the Old Testament. And he unpacked for us and said, if you want to be a follower of mine, this is what you believe to be true. And he would say over and over again, you've heard it said. And he would be referring to the law in the Old Testament. And he would say, you've heard it said that you shouldn't kill anyone. And Jesus would say, and if you haven't, that's great. And last week, through a show of hands, we discovered that we had a church full of people who have never murdered anyone. Now, some of you weren't here last week. So if you have murdered anyone, know that you just bring our percentages down a little bit. But overall, we'll still be okay. But we are a church of righteous people because we have never murdered anyone. But what Jesus will say is to the letter of the law, that's what the law says. But you need to understand that it's not just about this surface level obedience to have you killed someone, yes or no. But Jesus will say, if you want to really follow me, it runs deeper than that. So the question isn't, have you killed anyone? But the question really becomes, have you ever responded to anyone, even in your heart, with anger? And suddenly the raising of the hand, the survey of the church looks a little different. Who has responded to someone in anger, even internally? Oh, and suddenly we're not so righteous. And Jesus will say, you need to not just say, well, I'm following the letter of the law, but Jesus will say there's a heart behind these things. And this week, Jesus is going to continue on this theme of the heart behind things. But this time, instead of talking to us about the law and like the things we're not supposed to, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't do all these things, Jesus this time will turn his attention away from sort of the law and the behavioral things that we need to address as followers of Jesus. But this time, he's going to turn his focus and our focus for our time together, not on the law, but on the things we actually do for God. The things that we do that we would say, God, this is for you. God, I do this for you. And Jesus will still again encourage us, take what you're doing and put it to the side. Because we need to talk about some deeper things. And so if you were with us last week, I mentioned to you last week that we skipped over a section in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go back to that to begin our time together this morning. So we're going to look at a couple verses in Matthew chapter 5. Then we're going to be working our way through Matthew chapter 6 this week. And so in Matthew chapter 5, the section we skipped over is actually some of the more famous verses from the Sermon on the Mount that if you're familiar with church, if you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, you may have heard these before. And even if you're not, you might have heard references to things like this. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus talks to us about what it should look like when we live for him. And in verse 13, Jesus will say, "You are the salt of the earth." And maybe you've heard that expression before, the salt of the earth. And it's this idea that salt matters, that putting salt in things, it fundamentally changes them. Have you ever, when I was in middle school, we had a cooking class. And I wasn't in the cooking class. I had something else going on during that time. But one day, the cooking class brought those of us who weren't in the cooking class, they brought us brownies. And it was like, ooh, I like this. They didn't normally bring us food, so it was different. But it was like, I like, I'm sitting in, I don't know, doing math or whatever, and somebody comes and says, "Would you like a brownie?" They had mixed up the salt and the sugar. So that's why they were willing to share. And also in that moment, you discover salt changes things. That you bite into what you expect to be a brownie and you have like a salt bomb. And it's like, oh, salt has a profound impact. And Jesus will say, "You are the salt of the earth. You are meant to have a profound impact on what's going on around you." In verse 14, he will say, "You are the light of the world. Darkness and light are not in competition with each other." That light overpowers darkness. That when you enter into a room and you turn the light switch on, there's no competition. The light just takes over and it becomes bright. And Jesus will say, when you follow me, when you live your life the way that I want to empower you to live and the way that you're called to live, you will bring light into the dark places of this world. And he will say, you're like a city on a hill that at night, even when it's dark all around, you can see the city on the top of a hill because light is present. And Jesus will say, that's what you're meant to be. You're meant to be light into this world. And in verse 16, he concludes his sort of little mini talk about this by saying this. In verse 16, he will say, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As you live this out, as you take your life and you give it to Jesus, and you live your life the way he's called you to, you're going to have a profound impact on the world around you. People are going to see Jesus in you. People are going to look at you and they're going to see the things you do. They're going to see the way that you live. And they're not just going to see, wow, isn't he awesome? Isn't she great? But they're going to see Jesus in you. As we live this out, people are going to see Jesus in us. And it's out of that we went through our discussion last week where Jesus will say, but it's not just about the basics. It's what people, in order for people to see me in you, it's got to come from inside. Not just a basic obedience to rules, but it needs to like be pouring out of you from your heart. And so then we come to our main text for today, Matthew chapter 6. Got two wrong. Matthew chapter 6. And one of the challenges that we can have in the way that we can handle the Bible and the way that we treat the Bible and the way that we've divided the Bible up is that sometimes, because a lot of us, when we do our devotions or when we do our Bible reading, we'll read chapter to chapter. We'll read one chapter to another chapter. Now Jesus didn't talk like that. That at the end of Matthew chapter 5 and when he transitioned to Matthew chapter 6, he didn't say chapter 6. He didn't, he didn't take a break. This just all flows from one thing to another. But sometimes, because we often will read our Bibles chapter to chapter, or because even just because there's chapter markers in there, sometimes it can cause us to kind of like treat each chapter sort of like its own thing. That chapter 5 is chapter 5, and then we move on to chapter 6, and we don't necessarily always appreciate the way that one flows into the other. That the way that, for this, in this case, the way that Jesus never stopped talking. He just kept sort of going. And so we go into Matthew chapter 6, recognizing that he's just keeps talking. And all of Matthew chapter 5, if we were to read that together, it's probably 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes at the tops it would take for us to read through the whole chapter. So it's not like it's been a long time since Jesus said the things before. And so as we come into Matthew chapter 6, it's right on the heels of Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 6 begins like this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Now wait a minute. Go back to what we just read in chapter 5. Remember, this isn't a separate teaching. This wasn't a month ago. This wasn't a year ago. This wasn't even a day ago. This was just 3 minutes ago. Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see. That they may see your good deeds. Let your light shine before others that they might see. 3 minutes later, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. Let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds. But then be careful not to do them in front of other people. What's going on here? Make sure you're living out your faith so that people can see Jesus in you. Just don't do it in front of them. Amen? Have a great day. Thank you for coming. What's happening here? What is Jesus trying to drive the point home to? Make sure that you're living your faith out in a way that changes the world around you, that people will see Jesus. Just don't do it in front of them. We need to look a little bit closer as to what Jesus is saying here. In Matthew 16, Jesus will say, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Live your life out. Be salt and light in a way that matters so that other people might see your good deeds. But he finishes the sentence with, and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, if we put that next to Matthew 6, where it seems like Jesus gives us the opposite advice, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. But then when we read the fullness of it, we can see maybe what Jesus is trying to drive home, to be seen by them. What's the difference? What is Jesus trying to help us understand? Jesus is challenging us to look at our motivation. What are we wanting people to be seeing when they look at our lives? What's our motivation? Why do we live the way we do? Jesus, again, wants us to take what we're doing, our actual actions, the things that we would say, look, I did it. And Jesus would say, I want you to take that and I want you to put it to the side. I don't want to talk about what you're doing, but I want us to talk about why you're doing it. Look at something much deeper. Jesus goes on to say, if you are living out your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, he will go on to say, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That if you're living out your righteousness, if you are following Jesus so that other people can look at you and say, that's someone who follows Jesus. If that's our motivation, then Jesus will say, then there's no reward for you in that. And then Jesus will go on to give us specifics. He'll give us some examples. He doesn't just leave us with a principle, but he'll drive it home. And he'll give us some examples to look at. He challenges us to look at maybe some of the things that we do for him. He calls us to look deeper than just our actions, to not just rest on like, hey, look at what I do for Jesus. But he calls us to look deeper than just what. And these three examples are things that we would hold up as the right things to do. These are good things. These are right things. We should do them. The twist at the end of the sermon is not going to be, and actually you never should have done this to begin with. Ha ha ha, we tricked you. You know, it's not going to be somehow a twist ending of like, and actually these things are bad. Friends, we need to do these things. But Jesus will say it's not just about doing them. But he will say, we need to look at why we do what we do. And so the first example is found in chapter 6, verse 2. And it will say, when you give to the needy, when you give to the poor, when you give to people, do not announce with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. This word hypocrite, it's a word that we all know well. If you grew up in church, if you were in Sunday school with church, you may remember the old song, I don't want to be a hypocrite because they're not hip with it. We would say, I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're all sad, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're not fair, you see. I don't want to be a hypocrite because they're not hip with it. Sunday school songs. But we understand this word, and we've talked about, we will talk about this word, and we know that a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. That you know, it's the pastor who gets up in church and says, you need to be faithful to your spouse while he's having an affair. It's someone who says one thing and does another. But Jesus will help us to see a different definition of a hypocrite here, because these people aren't being hypocritical because they're saying you should give to the needy. Well, they're not doing it. They are giving to the needy. They're not saying one thing and doing another. But instead, what Jesus will say is that we can be hypocritical when we say one thing, when we do one thing, but are something totally different on the inside. That if we say we should do this, and even if we do this, but on the inside, our motivation isn't what it's supposed to be, that can be hypocritical. These people, they practice this act of righteousness, giving to the poor, but they're not doing it so that the poor can receive. They are giving so that they can be seen giving, and people will celebrate that. As we go to drop our envelope in the tithe box at the end of service, and we give it a good we give so that we could be seen to give. It's giving so you can get, but not necessarily some kind of prosperity gospel sort of, if you give, then God's going to give you even more in return. It's not getting financially. It's to get the praise of people. It's to get the recognition, the status, that maybe if my tithe check is big enough and I go give it to the pastor, I could also mention that I don't really like that song and we shouldn't sing it anymore. That I'm giving, but I want people to see that I'm giving so that people will celebrate me. People will say, can you believe how much they give? Can you believe? Wow, they are awesome. That is remarkable, to elevate themselves. But Jesus says, if that's the reward, if that's the motivation that you're giving for, then that's all you're going to get. He will say, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. That if we're giving just for public recognition of giving, then you're going to get that. But you're not going to see anything else beyond that. Jesus gives us a second example in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. That I want to have a prominent role in church. I want to pray. I want to be up on the platform. I want to sing. I want to pray. I want to preach. I want to be on the welcome team. I want to be somewhere where people will see me so then they know, wow, they're serving at church. I want to preach because I think if I could preach, then people would say, that was really, you're better than Brad. You know, I want to preach because I want to be seen doing things because then people will see me doing things. And Jesus will say, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. That if you are just serving to be seen serving, then what you're going to get out of serving is being seen serving. Third example that Jesus gives is fasting. Now, for those who are unaware, and as I was thinking about this, this was a challenge for me because we don't talk about fasting much as a church. And it was really convicting for me because as I was writing my sermon, I thought, I need to pause here and explain what fasting is. And then I thought, I shouldn't have to do that. And so this was convicting for me that we need to talk more about this as a church. But fasting is a spiritual practice and discipline of making a choice to go without food for a period of time, not for weight loss. It's not for a diet. Sometimes people will say, I'm going on a Daniel fast in order to lose some weight for the new year. That's not fasting. That's just eating vegetables. What fasting is it's taking a physical necessity, like eating, and saying, I'm going to replace this physical necessity with a spiritual necessity. That I'm going to take this time that I would normally spend meeting this physical need, and instead I'm going to spend that time meeting a spiritual need. And so with that, if we've ever fasted and instead of taking the time that we would have spent eating and instead we just watched TV, then all we did was we didn't eat. We didn't fast. Fasting is a spiritual practice of saying, I physically need this, but for this time and this season, I'm going to put my spiritual necessity above my physical necessity. And so Jesus will say this about when we fast. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others how they are fasting. That, woe is me, I'm fat, oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, did you hear that? That's my tummy grumbling. Can I tell you why? Because I haven't eaten in 3 days because I'm fasting unto the Lord. Oh, I can barely walk. Oh, it's so hard. Life is so, because I'm fasting unto the Lord. Jesus says, fasting, you should fast. But when you fast, don't make a production out of it. That if what you're doing is, if you're not replacing a physical need with a spiritual need, if instead you're replacing this physical need with an ego need, then that's what you're going to get out of it. That people may admire you, and that's going to be the reward you receive. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. If you're doing it so that people will see you, what you're going to get out of it is that people will see you. Now, over and over again, we see this theme of rewards coming from God. And this can be a challenging thing for us to understand because we don't always like to talk about what does it mean to be rewarded from by God. Sometimes we think in our relationship with God is the reward is a job well done. That the reward is that we got to do this thing for Jesus. But the Bible will tell us here that there's rewards for us. And next week, we're going to talk about what does it mean to have these rewards from God. That over and over, we read about they've received their reward in full. Jesus is showing us in these three examples that just simply doing these things isn't the only question. That the question isn't whether, do you give? Yes, I give. All right, next. That Jesus would say, the question may be, do you give? But then the question becomes, but why are you giving? Do you pray? Yes, but why are you praying? Do you fast? Well, yes, but why are you fasting? Jesus is calling us again, even though these are things we're doing for him, and he's saying, take what you do and set it to the side so that we can talk about your heart. But Jesus, in each one of these examples, shows us what it means for us to do good things and right things the good and the right way. So going back to the first example, giving to the needy, Jesus will say, but when you give to the needy, do not let your right hand know, or do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you give to the needy, do it in such a way that even you aren't sure you're doing it. That when you give, it's so between you and God that even part of your body could be left out of the conversation. Make sure that when you're giving, it's just between you and the Lord. And he will say, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That if we give in public to be seen, then what we are going to get out of it is that people see us. But if we give unto the Lord, if we give in a way that it's between us and God, God says, I'm going to reward you. Next, he will say, when he speaks about prayer, he'll say, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Our prayers will mean more if it's just between us and God. Doesn't mean that, you know, we can't ever pray publicly, but what it means is make sure that it's you and it's the Lord. Next, he'll say about fasting. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Pull yourself together. Don't be a mess. Don't make a production out of this. Don't be like that. He will say, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so next week, we're going to talk about what does that mean, that he will reward you. And we'll talk about, Jesus will talk about storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And we're going to talk about what that means. But this test really becomes a question of motives. Why do we, in our own following of Jesus, why do we do some of the things that we do? Is it motivated out of a deep sense of who God is and who we are in Jesus? And is it motivated out of this heartbeat of love for God and adoration for the Lord? And is it motivated out of this heart and love for others? Or, if we're really, really honest with ourselves, when we look in the mirror, is it out of love for ourselves? Out of a desire to be seen? See, as followers of Jesus, sometimes we learn the right answers to the questions. And so we know that as we spend more time in church and more time in church, we start to know and understand, I really should pray. And it seems like people who pray are seen. And maybe I'd like to be someone who, people sing on the worship, they get to stand in front of everybody. They get to go up on a platform. Oh, maybe I would like that. See, Jesus in this moment calls us to look in the mirror, to be honest with ourselves and to ask of our hearts, that we would be salt and that we would be light, that we would transform the world around us, not to build our own kingdom, and not even so that we can be seen building his kingdom, but we will build, or will we do it to build his kingdom for his name? Am I a person who is okay with my name being forgotten so that other people can remember the name of Jesus? Am I someone who is willing to live my life from a place where if no one remembers me, it doesn't matter because they'll remember the name of Jesus? Am I okay with being a person who is speaking and teaching and leading and pastoring a church and living and giving and serving if no one ever remembers me? And they just remember Jesus. Am I okay if all of these things only ever give glory to his name, that he is the only one who is remembered? Are we as a church okay with that? Are we as a church okay with giving away 110 Christmas presents if no one remembers it was Hillside Church who did it? Or do we do it so that maybe the City View will write an article about us? As people come in, it was Hillside. Remember Hillside. Or are we okay with just people experiencing the love of Jesus? See, confession time. I like it when you come and tell me that you enjoyed the sermon. I like that. I like it when you tell me, come and tell me how much it can minister to you. I like that. And I don't necessarily think that's bad. I mean, I hope you enjoy this part of the service. I hope that when worship comes to the end, you're not, here we go. How many times can I get up and go get a fresh cup of coffee before it starts to become weird? Oh, this guy again. I hope you enjoy this. I hope that God speaks to you. I hope that God meant it. I hope that this isn't the slog worst part of your week. I like it when you like the sermon. But here Jesus shows me and tells me that if I preach only so that you come afterwards and tell me how much you like it, if that's what I'm doing, I'm preaching so that after the service someone will come and tell me how much they enjoyed the sermon, then that saying, or then them saying that they enjoyed the sermon, that's all that sermon's going to matter. If all I'm doing is preaching so that someone will come and say, good job, pastor, then me hearing good job, pastor, was all that was worth. And I'm no longer doing this for Jesus. See, our lives need to be lived out of a heartbeat of love and affection for God, for Jesus and for what he's done, and out of a heartbeat and love and affection for the people around us. But God calls us not to look at our actions, but our heart. And he says to us, when we do these things in secret, when we do these things just for him, when we do them and maybe no one notices, and maybe even the voices in our head say, no one noticed you doing that. Isn't that awful? You were serving, you were giving, you did that, and no one even noticed. But God says, my son, my daughter, I noticed. I noticed. You did this unto me. He says, I've seen what you've done, and I know you've done this for me, and I have a reward for you. Our lives need to be not about us, but about him, and helping other people see him more clearly by how we live as salt and how we live as light in the world. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you don't say to us today that some of you are meant to be salt, that some of you are meant to be light. But God, I thank you that you tell us, each one of us, that we are to be salt and we are to be light. That we are to be salt in the world. We are to be light in the world. That for each one of us, you have a plan and a purpose and a reason for us and a life that we are called to live to make a difference in the world. God, I thank you that we have a room full of difference makers. I thank you that we have a live stream full of world changers. God, that you have called us to make a difference in the world around us. And so, God, I pray that as we endeavor to live and to be all that you've called and created us to be, as we endeavor to be salt and to be light, God, may our hearts and our lives be kept from the trappings of self-promotion. May our hearts and our lives be kept from the trappings of insecurity, be kept from the trappings of, I just want someone to see me. I just want to be seen. God, may we do things unto you. May we live our lives with a heart and a passion for you, for a heart and a passion and a love for the people around us. God, may our motivations be right. God, may we not be a people who do the right things the wrong way. But may we be a people who do the right things the right way. God, help our hearts and our motivations to be in the right place as we look to serve you with everything we are. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You don't need a savior.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.
Friend in Jesus, yes, He is my everything. Thank you, Lord. I have a shepherd who always keeps me safe, and I found a healer, yes I did, who knows my every pain, and this is my story of redeeming love. I have come to know him well. Oh,
joy we share, what else compares? It's like nothing I've ever known.